Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Women's sports today on Advanced. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me and my co-host Garrett in the studio today for the first of our July newsworthy clips. Garrett, welcome.
Thank you, Simon. Hello, everyone listening. It is good to be here.
Garrett, what is a newsworthy clip for those who have never joined us for newsworthy clips before?
Sure. This is something we have every single month. It is three different little articles that hopefully share some things that are happening in the news. They might not be current to this month, but either way, you'll get to learn some specialized words you might find in the news that you might not find in a different kind of English lesson.
Exactly. And so today, our lesson is titled Women's Sports on the Rise. Garrett, I could not think of a less likely pair to be discussing this article than the two of us.
That's true.
Although, men, we're not highly athletic, we're not huge sports fans, but you do play in a fantasy league.
I love sports. I grew up fanatically watching them and playing them. I just was never good enough to go professional.
Oh, rough. But you're more qualified than I am then. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I don't watch a ton of women's sports though.
Uh-oh. So we're right back where we started with us being an unlikely pair for this discussion. Nonetheless, we'll do our best. Women's sports on the rise. When something is on the rise, it typically means that it is becoming more popular, more influential, or growing basically an economic clout or any of those other measures. And so I think that is what is being implied here about women's sports in general. You will notice that this article, of course, comes in your July Advanced magazine. If you don't have an Advanced magazine, I would encourage you to get one. It's the easiest way to support us here at Advanced Radio, and we do need your support. Garrett, you mentioned you play sports. What sports did you play as a kid?
My favorite was baseball. I was a huge fan of baseball. I also played a bit of American football. And in high school, I was on the wrestling team.
American football. My goodness. Yeah. You were into the expensive sports.
Well, I played some cheaper versions.
Lots of equipment required for those things. I played baseball and soccer, dabbled a bit in hockey and rugby, things
All right.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty normal for North American kids to be involved in team sports, eh?
I would say it was very strange if you were not involved in those things, especially during the high school years in the U.S.
Yeah. Even today, I force my children to do at least one team sport a year. Yeah.
That's good for them.
It's part of the culture. Part of the culture. Okay. Well, listeners, if you have your July magazine, I would encourage you to open it up. We're going to do two readings today as we explore this topic. Let's do our first reading together now.
Newsworthy clips. Update your vocabulary with news clips from around the world. Women's sports on the rise. Megan Rapinoe, Caitlin Clark, Serena Williams, Mia Hamm, Lindsey Vonn. The list of high-profile, recognizable women athletes is growing, and track and field athletes may be the next to become household names. That's the bet that Alexis Ohanian is making with Athlis, an all-women's track and field league. Ohanian is perhaps best known as the co-founder of Reddit, but he's also an investor who's made no secret of his interest in investing in sports. During a press event in New York City, he said the idea for Athlis came to him while watching the Olympics, during which millions of people tune in to watch track and field events. His logic? Why not try to tap into that audience outside of larger events? That's how Athlis was born. The league is an attempt to capture the excitement around track and field events that has traditionally only existed around the Olympics and other big-time track and field events.
Garrett, how familiar are you with these names they give us at the beginning here?
I know each and every one of these names.
Oh, I'm so glad. There's two of them I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which ones are those?
Oh, the first one. Okay. Megan Rapinoe. Who is this?
Yeah, or sometimes pronounced Rapinoe.
Rapinoe?
She was a female soccer star, especially for the U.S. national team for a number of years.
See, I was kind of hoping they had split them up by sport here because Mia Hamm, who appears later,
also a soccer star.
Is a super soccer star.
Kind of a different era, though. I don't know if they overlapped.
An older era. Yeah. But they do have a mix of ages here because Caitlin Clark is still very much current and active.
Very young, yeah.
Basketball, women's basketball. Mm-hmm. But Serena Williams is—
Maybe the most recognizable of these to many people.
A real veteran, though. Definitely an older generation there in tennis, women's tennis. And the last one I didn't recognize was Lindsey Vonn.
Ah, okay. Well, she was in the news quite a bit within the last year. She is a U.S. skiing star, multiple-time gold medalist, and had a kind of tragic injury within the last year.
Are these all Americans?
Let me look for a moment. Yes, these are all Americans.
That might explain some of my ignorance. I'm not an American to start with, and I'm not living anywhere near America.
That's fair.
Yeah, okay, interesting. So this list of high-profile, recognizable women athletes is growing. I think that's true, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Women's sports are far more prominent now than they were in my youth.
Yeah, it really depends on the sport, though. I think it's very difficult for these women athletes in larger team sports. Mm. People like Caitlin Clark are maybe an exception to that, or Mia Hamm and Megan Rapinoe, whereas people in these individual sports where men and women is very clearly separated, like Serena Williams, really have a chance to shine.
Well, in my lifetime, we've gone from a situation where girls played similar but different sports. Mm. So, for example, when I was growing up, boys played ice hockey, but girls played a sport called ringette.
Which never is heard of it.
They kind of had like a hockey stick, but without the thing you hit the puck with on the end. And they kind of pushed a ring around. It was like literally a ring instead of a puck.
The example I would be more familiar with is boys play baseball while girls play softball.
Oh, see, everybody could play softball.
That's true, but not professionally necessarily. Yeah. Like you'd get a group of men who work in an office that make a team. Mm. But as far as like professionally or for like the high school team, boys are in baseball generally, girls are in softball.
See, this may be part of the thing. Like for me, I associate field hockey with girls.
Sure.
You know, but I associate lacrosse with boys.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Lacrosse, of course. Both of them are played on a field. They both involve kind of a ball and a stick thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both fairly rough, you know. But I associate one as being the girls' one as being the other. But you just said something that I think is very interesting because what I was going to say is when boys and girls both moved into the same sports, all of a sudden girls had more access to higher levels of play.
Yeah.
Right? Because there wasn't like a, you know, but this may be an American, non-American kind of difference, where in the U.S. they have professional sports leagues for a wide variety of sports.
Yeah.
So you mentioned softball being professional.
Well—
Or at least higher level.
Higher level as in high-level college athletics and then the Olympics.
See, in my experience, softball is what kids play to learn how to play hardball. Baseball. It's sort of like the training version.
I think in the U.S. we'd play either baseball or in school you'd play kickball.
So would it be fair to say the American cultural passion for participation in sports means that there are a wider range of opportunities?
There is a very wide range of opportunities, but more limited avenues to wide-ranging exposure to the public.
Okay. And so now, as we're seeing the development of women's sports leagues, or at least their rise to prominence, things like the WNBA, there's sort of more opportunity to pursue sports for longer.
Sure.
In life.
And
right?
There's
to later stages in life.
I'd say there's a deliberate push from investors like we're talking about today to kind of push women's sports out there.
There is a thing here, though, that they note towards the end of the last paragraph. They say, and track and field athletes may be the next to become household names. Like, I already kind of think of Olympic stars who would be, you know, I associate that with track and field. I don't think of track and field as being a league kind of game where people do it professionally.
I would agree with that.
So there's some sort of shift going on here where there, I think female track and field stars already are household names because they bring home gold from the Olympics.
Yeah, but of course
not there's in the same sort of way, right?
Yeah, there's a thing there where they're in the news for a couple months every 4 years and no one thinks about those sports outside of that.
So let's talk briefly about this term household name. When you're a household name, it has nothing to do with your home.
No, it has to do with many homes, so to say. If you're a household name, you're very well known throughout the public. You're very popular. The idea is that each person in each household around the country knows who you are.
Famous.
Yeah.
Famous. Okay. As we continue on, it says, that's the bet that Alexis Ohanian?
I think we heard Ohanian from Ohanian? Linda.
Yeah, this is the Reddit person.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's actually mentioned later. But clearly, there's sort of an investment play going on here where a bet is being made on Athlos. Mm-hmm. Athlos. An all-women's track and field league. Now, they've sort of used the term track and field here. We've been talking about the Olympics. The Olympics doesn't use the term track and field. They just call it athletics.
Really?
But in North America, when we say athletics, we tend to just mean sports broadly.
Yeah.
So there's sort of an English confusion there. Hmm. At the Olympics, the sport of athletics is all the track and field events.
Okay.
So there's different events within it. But what we're talking about when we say track and field is kind of the school sports day that many of our listeners will be familiar with, right? Your school has sort of a day, might be on a Saturday. Students run in races, relay races. There's sort of different events like jumping events and throwing things events, all of those kinds of things. That's athletics or track and field, what we're talking about here.
I have no experience with a school sports day like that, but my high school certainly had a track and field team.
A team.
That is all of those sports that take place first on the track, the big oval around where you do running sports, and then the field on the inside of that where, like you said, there's throwing, jumping.
So there was no requirement for you to participate in these sports?
No, not unless you were on the team.
Okay. So in my experience, these are the sports that are, you know, you almost wouldn't say they're sports. They're like, I mean, they clearly are, but it's required athletic activities for every kid.
Okay.
Like run, jump, throw, bounce, you know, whatever, these kinds of things. And they're sort of a PE class basic in my experience. So everybody kind of participates, everybody competes. But as you move to higher levels, you basically move through a series of competitions to higher levels, but not a league. So here we're talking about a league. How is a league different?
Well, a league would specifically be a set of different teams or participants in it that regularly compete against each other. It might have a season, one part of the year when they're competing, and there might be a specific trophy at the end of that season for the winners.
So we want to think MLB, Major League Baseball, or
the NBA,
NFL, the National Football League. Yeah, NBA, you know, they swapped league for association.
Sure.
National Basketball.
Same idea, though.
Yeah, kind of confusing that. But nonetheless, the point being, you're not having one big event every 4 years. You're having a series of regular events. Okay, so our founder here, Ohanian or Ohanian, is perhaps best known as the co-founder of Reddit. Yes. Certainly best known to me for that. But he's also an investor who has made no secret of his interest to invest in sports. So when you make no secret of something, it means you're not trying to hide it. You're making it very public. He wants to invest in sports. And so he's had a press event in New York where he's made an announcement. What has he said?
Well, he said the idea for Athlos came to him while watching the Olympics during which millions of people tune in to watch track and field events. And his logic was, why not try to tap into that audience outside of larger events, probably referring to things like the Olympics?
That's true. People do. I mean, the athletic events are very high profile, right? Like, you know, for example, the person who wins the 100-meter race is viewed as the fastest man or woman on earth, usually, right?
Someone like Usain Bolt.
Yeah, that's right. So they tend to be household names. They attract a lot of attention, more than, say, archery or
archery
curling.
Is so cool, though.
Unless you have wild scandals, you know, things like that. Yeah, so these do tend to be events that attract a lot of attention, so why not try to make it a more regular thing? That's how Athlos was born. The league is an attempt to capture that excitement, that has traditionally only existed around the Olympics and other big-time track and field events. What do you think? I have no idea how it would work myself.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I feel like people are okay tuning into these sports for a little bit every few years, but I have a hard time seeing them gain the same kind of popularity as big team sports. It does make me think, though, one of the most popular female track and field stars of all time went to my high school. So there's like plaques at our school. Her name was Marion Jones.
This is what I mean when I say athletics. Track and field athletes are already kind of household names.
They are
regularly famous.
Well, she's famous for going down in scandal for having cheated.
Oh. Yeah. But nonetheless, if she'd brought home a fistful of gold medals, she would similarly have the school named after her or whatever.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Well, that brings us to our second reading, listeners. Let's jump into that together now.
Last year, during its inaugural event, Ohanian says it drew 3 million viewers, attracted big-name advertisers like Toyota and Tiffany & Co., and was more successful than anticipated. Athlos is giving some athletes the chance to focus entirely on their chosen events, something that until very recently, only the top sliver of athletes have been able to do. British mid-distance runner Georgia Hunter-Bell, for instance, said that she only recently was able to quit her full-time job in tech sales to focus on track and field, and she's an Olympic medalist who has set national records. It was hard training around a full-time corporate job and trying to train like a professional athlete, she said. But leagues like Athlos are creating pathways to the pros for athletes like her. Globally, revenue from women's sports doubled from 2023 to 2024. And was expected to exceed $2.3 billion in 2025. According to a March 2025 report from Deloitte, basketball and soccer remain the sector's biggest moneymakers.
Okay, so last year during the inaugural event, now that's actually big news for this newsworthy clip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it means this is not just an idea.
No, so the inaugural event, the inaugural anything is when something starts or the first version of it.
I think the more common form of that word is inauguration, which is like the opening ceremony.
Yeah,
for something,
or
right?
Especially we'd use that term in politics when like a president first starts becomes the president.
Right? Yeah. They take their oath. Yeah. So Ohanian said it drew about 3 million viewers, which is not nothing. 3 million is a lot of people. Attracted big name advertisers like Toyota and Tiffany and Company. That's a very gender-based advertisement.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't think I have ever seen a Tiffany & Company ad on my social media.
Or on the NFL.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so it's already got its own unique flavor. It was more successful than anticipated. Now, what that basically means is they weren't expecting 3 million people to be watching.
They were surprised.
They were more successful than they thought. Athlos, then, you know, we haven't talked about this, but there's a clever word at play here, right?
Athletics.
Comes from athletics, yeah. And then the LOS part, I don't know about you, but I commonly associate this with Greek words.
Yeah.
Right? The OS. So it's kind of a return to the Olympic roots.
Sure.
Which, of course, come from ancient Greece. Athlos is giving some athletes the chance to focus entirely on their chosen events, something that until very recently only the top sliver of athletes had been able to do. So first of all, what's your top sliver?
Your top sliver would be the very top percentage, a very small amount of a larger group.
I know in terms of the economy and incomes, we often talk about the 1% being the richest bunch. They would be the top sliver. Technically, what a sliver is it's a tiny piece of wood or material that has kind of been chipped or shaved off of a bigger piece. And yeah, so it's like
a small slice,
a small segment. So only a small sliver of athletes, only a few athletes have been able to do this thing. And what was the thing? Well, focus entirely on their chosen event. What does this mean? What are they talking about here?
Well, they're able to focus on the specific, event means the specific competition they want to do. So not just running in general, but maybe running the 400 meter.
Yeah.
And they're able to really focus on it.
I don't know if this, you know, this will be an unfamiliar explanation for you since you were never forced to do track and field.
We were forced to run in like middle school PE, yeah, but it wasn't these kinds of competitions.
See, I was forced to attend track and field day from like grade one or kindergarten. Well into high school. It was like sort of a required day once each year. And the deal was typically, I don't know that this is the deal everywhere, but basically each student was required to sign up for 5 events. Now you could sign up for 2 track events and 3 field events, or 3 field events and 2 track events. Track
okay.
events were races, right, where you're running on the track. Field events were things where you're out on the grass field, throwing things, jumping, things like that. So there was a little bit of choice, but not too much choice. You had to do 5. Now, why do you do this? Well, you want to make sure people are in all of the events. If you have a limited population, you don't want everybody doing the 100 meter race, doing the long jump, and then everybody just goes home at 9:30 in the morning. You got to spread out the full sports day. But the other thing is you want basically students to try new things and maximize their chance of winning, right? Mm. So you want them to be engaged in a whole bunch of different things. The problem with that being that a lot of these different events require very different skills.
Yeah.
So some of them are going to be similar. Like there's an event called triple jump, and mm-hmm. one called running long jump, and one called standing long jump, and one called high jump.
Sure.
They're all jumping.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them are jumping while you're running. Some of them are jumping while you're standing. Some of them are jumping straight up in the air. And when you look at things like track events, there's a huge difference, obviously, between a 50-meter race and like a 3,000-meter race.
Different people winning those races.
Very different sort of stuff. So they're trying to introduce students to a diversity of activities so students can find out what they're good at. But my sense is that that continues well into the higher levels of these sports, where people are required to do races that are not their favorite race. Like, so for example, if you're really great at the 100 meter, you're also doing the 50 meter, also doing the 200 meter, maybe also required to run a 400 meter, when really what you would prefer to be doing is really focusing on the skills for that one event. And I think what they're saying here is that by creating, you know, like a league, people are able to specialize and focus on the one thing they really want to be doing, that preferred event, the chosen event.
Yeah, that's going to be part of it. The other thing we see as we go through the last part of our article today is they're not just focusing on that one event, but they're actually able to focus on track and field and not work outside of this because there's a slightly more stable income through this league.
They get paid?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to do it. I'm quitting my job. Goodbye, friends, here at Advanced. I'm going into athletics.
Simon's going to do javelin.
I might be a little long in the tooth, which means a little old for this sort of thing, but we'll see. We have a quote here towards the end. It was hard training around a full-time corporate job. Oh, That's exactly it. You're right.
Yeah.
And trying to train like a professional athlete, she said. But leagues like Athlos are creating pathways to the pros for athletes like her. Now, wait a minute. Athlos is creating pathways to the pros. Does that mean Athlos is professional?
I would say so.
Or
it just seems like
semi-professional.
It seems like it is. If you're able to leave your job outside of this and only focus on that league, that sounds like professional.
We'll have to leave a question mark on that.
Yeah.
Because pathway to the pros means, you know, well, it makes me think of farm teams in baseball.
Sure.
You know, which are semi-professional. Like you get paid, but not that much, very much. You better get a job as a PE teacher.
The hope of something in the future.
It's like Canadian football, where even the highest levels of athletes are also PE teachers or postmen.
That's kind of hard to do when you're on a farm team in baseball because they move around so much.
Yeah. Anyway, globally, revenue from women's sports doubled from 2023 to 2024. I think you might call that the Caitlin Clark effect. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
She had a massive effect on
absolutely,
the WNBA,
so many
right?
eyes on that.
Yeah. It's expected to exceed $2.3 billion. That'll be U.S. dollars in 2025, according to a March report from Deloitte. Basketball and soccer are the dominant money makers there, the big money making sports. And this, of course, is sort of in an American context.
Yeah, we'll have to see what track and field can do.
Yeah, something to watch out for. Garrett, tomorrow we're going to do another newsworthy clip. Are you willing to come back?
I am.
Fantastic. Listeners, thank you for joining us. Unfortunately, we are out of time for today, but we hope to see you again tomorrow for another newsworthy clip. Until then, I'm Simon.
I'm Garrett.
Saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.